T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Brian Billick from the NFL Network going to join us right now for a couple minutes. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Brian, we got a lot of stuff going on. We'll start with the news here in Fort Lauderdale where the NFL was having meetings. Do you think the officiating's been that bad, especially on the new pass interference review?
I don't. You know, first off, let's remember, about this time every year, we kind of have the same discussion, don't we? We're always complaining about where the officials and this call and that bad call, and what do we do? Do we have full-time officials? Do we add an official to the field? You know, from my perspective, and again, we've talked about it many times, I'm not here to defend the officials. They got $75,000 of my money. So I have no loss. And by the way, so your fans know, they take that money now. That's not a symbolic and, okay, we're going to put slap here. They take the money, okay? Right. So I got a little bit of an edge for the officials. But having said that, you know, this is a fast game, and it's getting faster all the time. I was very pessimistic about the new pass interference interpretation. When I sat and listened to Ron Rivera explain it when I was at the NFL seminar – for the NFL Network, I was scared because it was like, boy, this isn't going to go well. This doesn't make sense, and the fans are going to go nuts because the expectation was every pass interference can be challenged, and in their mind, if you want to challenge it, well, then it ought to be overturned. I'm very pleased with the way the league, what they've done is removed the egregious error, not the ticky-tack,
right.
Not turning over. Coaches have got the sense, look, if I challenge this, I better know, and I better see, because the officials, if it's close at all, if it's and basically what they see in the replay is probably what they saw on the field is pretty close, they're not going to overturn that. That's the one thing they made very, very clear, and I think the coaches realized during preseason, they're not going to overturn this stuff unless it is truly egregious. So unless it's an absolute pull and hold of the jersey, absolutely early contact, the interpretation, if I'm sitting in a bar in Miami and you're sitting in a bar in New England and there's pass interference on the Dolphins, I'm going to see it one way and you're going to see it another. That's right. Not an egregious error. And so I really think they've done a pretty good job with it.
Well, we got, as you know, we've had some coaches. I don't know what, when they lose, you know, their review, they go, I don't even know what it is anymore. I don't even know. Like, it looked clear to me. And you're right. They want to get the – I guess they're trying to make it clear, although some teams don't seem to get it, but it seems to be they want to get that Rams call that we saw against the Saints, the really,
sure.
Really bad one.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it should be, and that's a good thing. If you'll remember, and I was part of the group that when we first got replay reinstalled and had to get it past the owner, and I remember Rich McKay talking to Mike Holmgren and I, and I think Mike Shanahan was there, and they said the most important thing, look, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. What we want to do is remove the egregious error. The guy stepped out of bounds. Easy to see. The ball bounced in. You know, the Vinny Testaverde sitting on the 1 yard line and it called a touchdown. We want to correct those. And that was a good idea going in, but then what happened? We got kind of caught up in the minutia. Well, if we can correct that, how about we correct this, we correct that? We always saying it about offensive holding, right? You could call offensive holding on every play. Well, you could probably, if you really wanted to, call pass interference on every play on somebody. You really could. But I don't think we want the game called that way. Remember, pass interference, the basic part of the rule says, did someone gain a competitive advantage based on the way they played in terms of jamming, pushing, shoving? You know, we see it all the time on the slant routes. When a DB's in there, he's got his hand on the backside hip of the receiver, and he's reaching around, and people are going, no, that's pass interference. Well, no, if he didn't turn or alter the course of the receiver, just having your hand on the receiver is not a penalty. So I think the officials have got pretty good at it. I think we as fans have got to be careful that with this new rule, do we really want pass interference called on every single play? Because that's what will happen if we get bogged down into the minutia rather than trying to remove the egregious error. And the coaches, I get that. I'm the same way. I don't know what a catch is. I don't know what pass interference is. But all in all, I got to say, I think the officials are doing a pretty good job.
Brian, I don't know if you saw the report this morning, but back specialists all over the country are closing down shop because all it took for Jalen Ramsey's back to get better was a trade to L.A., and all of a sudden he's going to play this weekend. Back doctors out of business. What'd you think about that move and now that Jalen Ramsey might be playing this weekend?
You're right. It's amazing how quickly you can correct a migraine and a hamstring pull
right.
And a back. And it is amazing. So yeah, we saw this for what it was. He wanted a new contract. He wanted to be paid. He wanted to get out of the existing, like we see so many players do anyway. That's clearly what this is, and that's cool. I get it. And now he's got a new lease on life, going to the Rams. And now I'm with the team that really appreciates me. He ought to have a talk with Marcus Peters to see how he feels about the Rams now that he's going to Baltimore. So it's kind of business as usual.
What do you think of giving up two ones and a four for a guy that's obviously super talented? What do you think? Too much for you or not?
Well, let's see how he plays. You know, if he's a top-flight corner, make no mistake about it. And if you can play to that level that he has played, you know, on a team that desperately needs him on that back end and can make the difference for them, no, it's not too much of a price. Because, again, top shutdown corners are hard to come by. But it depends. Does he play up to that? It's like the contract. Is he worth it? It's like these quarterbacks, you give him a $100 million contract. Well, you know, is he worth it? Well, if he plays up to it, yeah, probably is.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about a couple of guys here because I thought before the year started going, you know, we look like the NFL's in really good quarterback shape. And all of a sudden, Jameis Winston's up and down. Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton. Mariota, Tannehill, to me, we had Tannehill a long time. Not bad. Good NFL guys. But I think all these teams are going to be looking, and a lot more, looking for franchise quarterbacks again next year in this draft. Do you agree? Because all these guys are up for, if you sign them, you got to give them big, big contracts. How do you feel about that group of guys I just mentioned?
Yeah, again, kind of business as usual. You know, every year in the draft, we talk about it, and at best, it's a 50-50 crapshoot, and it's kind of playing out that way. Jameis Winston, for as good a coach as Bruce Arians, and obviously what they're doing there, and this is, you know, at the end of the day, Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston, and he's played enough games, he's done enough that I think we've got, you know, Bill Walsh always felt like, by the latter part of their second year, by that 25th, 26th, 27th start, you have an idea whether the guy is a player or not. If it happens before, then great, you know, and you're ahead of the curve. But if it hasn't happened by then, it probably isn't. And with Jameis Winston, we're seeing, you know, for a while there, he had a couple of good games. But boy, he's got the right quarterback whisperer now, and he's really doing well. Well, then he reverted back to his what? He, you know, and this was Jameis Winston's MO. I'll have a 3-touchdown performance, and then I'll have a 3-interception performance. And it kind of looks to be the same way. Marcus Mariota is a bit of a surprise for me. I really thought Mariota would perform better than this. He clearly is among that group. It's going, pooh boy, it, for some reason, it doesn't look like it's adding up. I'm with you. Some of these guys that have struggled with it, you know, we talked about Baker Mayfield and indeed with the great first year that he had, how was he going to do now being that bravado? And we loved it. We loved the swagger and his ability to throw the ball in. He's willing to do it. Well, he was playing on house money. Now that it really matters, how's he doing? Well, he's sitting here with 5 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. And he's below 60% completion. So, and I'm not saying we should write off Baker Mayfield, but, you know, yeah, we're hearing the rest of the story now, and we're seeing over a longer period of time, can you sustain it? So, yeah, as we have said many, many, many times, and we've been doing this show a long time together, finding a quarterback that can truly do it in the National Football League, it's a hell of a crapshoot.
Brian, who's your MVP of the NFL right now if you're put on the spot?
Wow. Well, I think you have to put it in two categories. I mean, if it, because it's always, how do you not say a quarterback?
Right.
I think Christian McCaffrey deserves a lot of attention. This guy and what he's doing, both out of the backfield, running the ball. You know, if a non-quarterback can win the MVP, Christian McCaffrey's the guy. If you go back to, okay, well, we got to talk about the quarterback. Russell Wilson, what he's doing is spectacular. You know, the next-gen stats, I did a thing on Playbook, and the next-gen stat, and I'm not a big next-gen stat guy necessarily because there's a lot of minutia and data that you go, okay, what do I do with this? What are we really saying? But they've got one now that's kind of interesting. It's called expected completion percentage, and they take the speed of the receiver, the separation from the DB, the time that the ball is in the air, and basically the difficult throws. And who's making the most difficult throws? Who's completing passes that you really shouldn't be completing? And Russell Wilson is far and ahead the best in the league right now. He had, well, we saw that throw in the Thursday night game against LA, right?
As good as you'll see. Wow.
You cannot throw that pass. If that thing would have been intercepted, you'd have had every right to pull him over and going, what are you thinking, man? You can't force the ball in. And yet he gets a touchdown out of it.
Right.
There are some guys, Aaron Rodgers is that way. Pat Mahomes seems to kind of be that way. You know, I did one on Playboy. He rolls to the right, and you never, ever, ever, ever throw back across your body, across the field, blindly the other side, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, and it gets to Travis Kelce, he pitches back to LeSean McCoy, and it goes for 70 yards. So what it is, the long and short of it, is quarterbacks that can make plays outside the design of an offense. That you can't coach it, you can't teach it, you can't call it, you can't structure it. They just seem to be able to make those kind of plays. Those are the guys we're looking for, and right now Russell Wilson's at the top of that pyramid.
Brian, tell me about the work you're doing with Roman.
Yeah, I'm really proud of my association with Roman right now. This is really, we've talked about it before. This is a heck of a service. We got to take care of ourselves, particularly guys over 40. Guys over 40 haven't been to the doctor on an average in 2 years, and that's not right. There's just too much going on. So you get Roman, you get expert medical care. These are licensed physicians. The privacy of online. You can get, getting started, it's simple. You go to getroman.com/coach, and your first visit is free. And you're going to get things addressed. I don't care if it's ED, hair loss, cold sores, whatever. That stuff that needs to be addressed, stuff that you've got to get addressed because it can cascade into bigger things. You got to get it taken care of, and now there's no excuse not to. You can go to getroman.com.
All right, and go to getroman.com/coach for your first free visit. Coach, as always, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys.
All right, that was Brian Billick from the NFL Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.